sugar pops are tops. When Jingles grabs them, you shout hooray. He does his job the sugar pops way. Kellogg's sugar corn pops. Sugar pops are tops. Any time of day, just have a bite. Sugar pops for snacks.
They taste just right.
Kellogg's sugar corn pops. Sugar pops are tops. Here's the box with nutrition. Let's pour some out. You just add milk.
And then you shout.
Kellogg's sugar corn pops.
Bang, bang.
Sugar pops are tops.
Kellogg's sugar corn pops for breakfast or snacks give you vitamins and energy you need for a day of work or play. And they taste like a million.
Pops are sweeter, crisper, too. They're shot with sugar through and through.
Kellogg's sugar corn pops. Sugar pops are tops.
Yeah, we need more sugar in our lives. Jim is here, Carol T and Forte here. We're talking about dangerous things for kids in the 50s and 60s here in Racine, I guess everywhere, too. Yeah, let's keep loading up on that sugar. It's loaded with sugar, more sugar than any other cereal. This will keep you all awake for months. You want it to sleep with all this sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And they bragged about it.
That's
and they
right.
bragged. You don't find.
Yeah.
Do they still have sugar corn pops, or do they just go
it's
corn pop?
Corn pops now.
They took the sugar out of it.
Oh, of course.
Well, that's KFC did that.
Yeah.
The reason it was KFC was they wanted to get the fried out of there.
Uh huh.
And it was Kentucky Fried Chicken. They want people fried was a bad thing at that time. It's KFC. We won't go with fried anymore.
That's right.
That's why they did that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well. Thank you, Don, for inviting us back here. We're always glad to be back sharing our memories.
I think you muscled your way in, but that's okay.
I think so, too. Yeah.
We broke into this studio.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Don, it was pretty much a miracle that any of us survived our childhood from the 50s and 60s when you think about it. I mean, we were exposed to secondhand smoke while we played in the streets. Sugar was in everything, like Don just said, especially cereals. It's hard to believe that some of the things that were normal for kids back then are considered dangerous today. Right, Carol?
That's right, Jim. I mean, when you look back, we are survivors.
Yep.
We were so innocent in not realizing the dangers. And, you know, to be truthful, like we're going to talk about the dangers of secondhand smoke for us kids. Some of that is in our lives with people that became ill that we knew. But because we work on pleasant memories and nostalgia, we're going to kind of have fun with this topic and just realize that we did survive.
Mm-hmm.
We survived. So we expect to cover the dangers of smoking, of the food like sugar, and even in the family cars today. So let's start with smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And we had fun, actually, Jim, you and I, trying to think of, well, Where were people smoking? Meaning the adults, and then we as kids, of course, were maybe too early copying them, but we're going to get to the secondhand smoke. But adults, we smoked everywhere. So we talked about, of course, we smoked in the adults in the family car, in the buses, airplanes. Now, in the deep research that I did, it said approximately one-third of all passengers smoked on the flights. And the airlines even, of course, handed out the extra packs, the complimentary packs of cigarettes.
Then they used to stick you in the back, in the smoking section, like we're in a tube. Where do you think all this air is going?
It's true.
Same thing with movie theaters.
Yeah.
Didn't think of that. We didn't have that down.
Movie theater, you can smoke in the side sections, but you can see when the projector, because you have the smoke in the projector light.
Right, yeah.
We forgot get it, movie theaters, Dad.
You'll get it eventually, right?
Gee. Well, and even in doctor's offices, the waiting rooms.
I gotta tell you a quick story. My doctor was Dr. Thierman, and while he's examining you, he's puffing on the cigarette, putting it down, not blowing it in your face, but you get, he's like, taking a puff, and he's, you know, doing with the stethoscope, and while he's examining me, and I'm a little kid, and he's taking puffs of his cigarette right there.
Yeah, happened to me too.
I would think, Jim, a doctor that you said.
Just smoking away?
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
You must not have heard about smoking was dangerous to your health.
No, that hadn't been revealed.
Prior to 64,
I'm a little kid at 7 or 8 years old.
Yes.
He's blowing, taking cigarette puffs while he's examining me.
Oh, I think you could smoke in hospitals. And for sure in the work offices.
Yep.
And Jim, you're going to tell us later about the extent of your secondhand smoke in the office.
Yeah. Wait, quick story. We had a guy, Bob Lawrence, who was my first program director when I was a teenager working in New York. And we had, it's a different microphone than this, but it had like a screen on it, on the microphone. He used to take a puff and blow it right through the microphone. It was all brown. When you took the cover off, you could see the little holes that were still white.
Yes.
But it was all brown.
Yeah.
And when I worked in Milwaukee at a station, we had white carpeting on the walls. When we moved to downtown Milwaukee, they pulled the equipment apart. You can't believe how brown the wall was.
Jeez.
Just from the smoking in that studio.
Think of those lungs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, yes, the phrase tar and nicotine, you know, we just were unaware that they were leading to heart and lung problems. We were, as the public, I guess, the last to know. We were encouraged to smoke, actually, Jim.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were encouraged by doctors and even dentists. Carol and I have seen some ads, magazine ads, where the doctor would recommend specific brands of cigarettes or the dentist would do the same thing, you know. And you'd see smoking in all those movies, especially the older movies. You'd always see Humphrey Bogart smoking a cigarette, even on TV. Those who watched, what was that show? Columbo.
Well, Dick Van Dyke actually did commercials for smoking on the show.
Yeah.
This is real good take. Yep. The Ed Sullivan Show was sponsored by Kent Cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
And not Ed Sullivan, but his announcers come out, and the announcer, no less, to come out, Kent, smooth tobacco.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Johnny Carson was another one. Arthur Godfrey. They all endorsed certain brands of cigarettes. And Carol did some research here. And
I know I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy was another one.
That was sponsored by Philip Morris.
Yeah. Okay.
So a lot of smoking was built even right into the script.
Yep. Jackie Gleason.
Oh, yeah. Tell us, Jackie Gleason.
He smoked, according to what we found out, or Carol found out, 100 cigarettes a day. 100 cigarettes a day.
Well, 20 cigarettes to a pack, 5 packs a day.
Yeah, yeah, that's
Whoa.
Right. Yeah. And some of the ads that we saw actually featured parents smoking with a baby. You know, the baby was breathing all that secondhand.
A nice family scene.
Nice family scene. Yes, exactly right.
We're talking to Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier, and it's our monthly get-together. Are you smoking? I heard that cough.
Is this a smoker's cough?
I'll put my cigarette out. Just
I never had a cigarette my entire life.
I have not either.
Never even tried it?
I haven't either.
Never had a beer, never had a cup of coffee, never had a lot of things.
My gosh.
I know. My goodness.
Clean living.
Good Lord. What's going on?
Clean living.
Look how he looks, too.
Anyway, we're talking about dangerous things, 50s and 60s, for not only kids, but the family. Yeah. And we're talking about cigarettes right now. It doesn't get more dangerous than cigarettes, but go ahead. Actually, it does get more dangerous. We're going to find out, but go ahead.
Well, we were talking about our role models, like I Love Lucy. Sponsored by Philip Morris, so there was plenty of smoking there on TV. Dean Martin, we know that he had, you know, a drink and a cigarette in hand at all times. I used to love Dragnet years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Joe Friday.
Yeah.
I also would like Peter Gunn. So I looked that up. I can't swear to this, but it said his favorite brand was Lucky Strike, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned Columbo and his cigars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, on Columbo, in all fairness, he always says, I know this is a dirty habit, I should stop.
Yes.
He always says that on there.
That's right. He never did, though.
No.
Well, the brands, many still around, but many not. Jim, tell us about the brands.
Yeah. Well, they all had high nicotine content, and, of course, the earlier ones had no filters. But some of the brands that my dad used to smoke and I remember him going to the store and getting were Lucky Strikes, Philip Morris, Carol, you mentioned that, Camels.
The worst.
Yeah.
No filters.
That's right. Camel, Pall Mall, of course. Old Gold. Chesterfield was another popular one back then. There were so many.
Raleigh.
Raleigh,
Raleigh, right. And also Kent Cigarettes.
Kent?
Yeah. And I'm going to get to Kent because I discovered that of all the cigarettes, Kent supposedly was the worst for you. And it was known as the Kent having the microfilter.
Oh, yeah, microfilter,
And actually, the microfilter was not helpful.
No kidding.
It was worse?
Wow. Yes, yes. Jeez. That was a
Well, my brother had his band back in the mid-60s. They used to send me down to the stores to get them the cigarettes.
Sure.
And I remember it was 29 cents for a pack of Camel.
Yeah. Well, another research find that I had was about Marlboro. Now, in 1954, the sales were not that good. And so the company engaged the Leo Burnett marketing advertising firm from Chicago. And Leo Burnett himself, the owner, is credited with coming up with the Marlboro Man.
Who died of cancer from cigarette smoking.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Marlboro yeah. Country.
Yeah. And they used the theme song from The Magnificent Seven.
Yep.
That was their big song. People thought, oh, they used that in the movie later on. No, it was the other way around. They used it in the cigarette.
It was an immediate smash success.
Pack or box?
Yep.
Oh.
Remember that? You get it in the package or you can get it in the box.
Okay.
Then you remember it had the flip-top box on it?
Oh, flip-top box.
Yeah. But you could also get the regular package, like the cellophane package, or you can get the box top.
Right.
Flip box.
Yep. And then, not to leave the female out, mothers, grandmothers, in 1968...
Virginia Slims? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I'm coming to Virginia Slims.
You've come a long way, baby.
That's exactly... Yeah.
That's her line.
Yeah. Think of that.
To get where you got to today. You've got your own cigarette now, baby. You've come a long, long way.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I can't believe I remember that. I'm so embarrassed.
I'm shocked at this, too. And you were never tempted. Well, I guess I wasn't either. And Jim had said a pack of cigarettes he thought was about 30 cents. And
30 cents.
Said 29
for a pack of Camel, Yeah.
That's right.
So mothers could afford them in the budget? Mothers with little children hovering around.
What do they charge now for a pack?
Don't know.
With all your research and investigative journalism, you didn't.
We're in the past, Don. We're about the past.
Yeah.
We don't know the current or the future. Jim, what about even how kids would go to the stores?
Well, that's right. A lot of times... my dad would send me to Cristiano's, besides buying milk or bread, pick up a pack of Lucky Strikes. And I was probably maybe 7 or 8 years old, and the clerk would just hand me a pack of cigarettes, for my dad. And this was apparently a common occurrence as well, where all kids would do that for their parents.
Yeah.
What do you guess a pack of cigarettes cost today? Well, just give me a guess. I'm way off.
$3. $8 to $10.25.
A pack?
That's what it says, yeah.
From 30 cents to $10.
I'll be darned. Wow.
How can you afford to smoke?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
I guess you do without food for your family.
Yeah,
you can smoke.
You just don't eat.
Yep, that's right.
Or you eat things with sugar, which we're getting to next.
Yeah, cereal. Yeah.
So how about gifts of ashtrays?
Oh, yeah. Well... back then, you would maybe give somebody a gift, a housewarming gift of an ashtray, or lighters for that matter. And a lot of stores would give these ashtrays away as a premium or promotion. They'd have the advertising, their store name on there, and they would just give them away. Now they're highly collectible, these ashtrays with the store's name on them.
You put candy in them instead.
Yeah, that's
a
right.
More sugar.
More sugar.
That's right,
We can't get away from it. We just can't get away from it. But I would say that there was a store downtown for many years, Sandy's, or known as Thrifty Sandy's, a gift section. And I must have been junior high, maybe even some high school, and people would be graduating, getting married. And I go to that gift section, and a big thing was beautiful ashtrays, like in mosaic, in shapes of leaves, pelicans.
My parents used to have the neighbors over. They went to a different house in the neighborhood, and they lived in the suburbs. And I remember when I got to, when I was sleeping, I'd wake up and look at them. It was like London in the fog in that house. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, all the ashtrays, we had a silent butler. Remember those little things you open?
Yeah.
cigarette butts everywhere in that house. Ashes on the table. Ashes on the couch. Ashes on the chairs. We're chatting this morning with Jim Messier and Carol Gianforte. I'll switch it around later. Carol, go first. Then
I've been waiting for that.
No, I did use you first earlier.
Okay, good.
I like it the way it is.
Yeah. Jim and Carol are here. Carol and Jim are here. And we're talking about the dangers of growing up in the 50s and the 60s. We spent a lot of time on cigarettes.
And we're not quite finished, but we're almost moving on to sugar. Or we're almost. But to continue on with smoking, to wrap that up.
I'll tell you my quick story. My dad had pneumonia back in the 60s. This was the day that he went to the doctor, and the entire East Coast had the power blackout. Remember that? The big blackout of 67? Yeah, that was the day he went to the doctor. Doctor said, you got pneumonia.
Yeah.
Pay your bill because you'll be dead in a month at the rate you're going. We're seeing three packs a day. Yeah. No way you're going to live. My father stopped that day and never picked up another cigarette for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Oh. My mother had to stop because you couldn't have smoke in the house. So she stopped.
Good for her.
And neither one had ever picked up a cigarette from that day on, from the day of the New York power blackout or the East Coast power blackout. That's my story. Go ahead.
That's your story. Getting to know your parents.
More positive news. Let's go.
Near death. Okay. And when we said you could smoke in the family car, well, we were remembering that cars came standard with ashtrays and lighters.
Yep.
I still have them in my car.
Yeah.
But I use the ashtray as a chain thing, for change.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
I throw out all my pennies because I don't take them anymore.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Yeah.
And finally, back to the Surgeon General, I think.
Back in 1964, the Surgeon General came out with the fact cigarettes are bad for you. They cause lung cancer. And if you notice on these packs, right now, those who smoke, it says cigarettes can be dangerous to your health, and how true that is.
Finally, we had the knowledge.
Yep.
But that secondhand smoke, some of those components, arsenic, asbestos, radon, carbon monoxide.
Yep.
So we did survive.
Yes, I worked at a couple places that had our offices were just one big area, and most people smoked, but we thought nothing of it. It was a very common thing to do. And it was mostly cigarettes, but some guys smoked pipes, cigars, and, we were breathing all the secondhand smoke and never thought anything of it.
Well, here at the radio station, all the smokers had to go into the basement. It wasn't built like it is now.
Okay.
They had walls and everything. It was just one big open space. They had chairs in a semicircle. And they'd all smoke down there in the basement.
Yeah.
And left the back door of the building open, so the smoke went out the door.
Sure.
Now, I don't think we have any smokers left. We had one recently, and she had to go out the back door and stand on the porch area in the back of the building and smoke.
Huh.
And that was it. Yeah.
Well, we're going to move on to something more interesting. Foods with sugar. Now, many products had a large content of sugar in them, especially cereals. They even had sugar in their names. Don mentioned this before. Who remembers Sugar Smacks? Sugar Corn Pops, of course. Sugar Frosted Flakes. Sugar Crisp. And a lot more. And of course, like Don said, they got rid of the word sugar because all of a sudden it was unhealthy for you. Now it's just Corn Pops and, things like
Maybe
that.
Maybe if we don't say sugar, they won't know there's sugar in it.
Right.
The American public's pretty stupid.
Right.
They won't figure it out.
Yeah. Even the non-sweetened cereals that we used to buy, like Corn Flakes and Rice Krispies, what did we do? We would dump a ton of sugar on there, to make it taste good.
We had no idea that sugar would help you head toward diabetes at later ages, that you would become addicted to more and more sugar. So there we were.
Yep.
Kool-Aid. Now, Kool-Aid was the drink of choice growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that
little pack.
Yeah, little pack.
And
nickel a pack, I think.
Make a pitcher of sugar, of Kool-Aid, that was about 2 full cups of sugar that you would add.
You'd always add more.
They had no sugar in it, and then you had to add the sugar. Then they came with pre-sweetened later on.
Which is probably chemicals in that.
Yeah, you didn't have enough sugar. Well, that sugar it up for you. Then there's sugar on top of that sugar. Your kids will be jumping off the walls like Roger Rabbit.
Sodas, all those flavors, cherry, grape. We would kid each other about mustaches and all that. And soda, though, a big thing, including Jim, you were reminding me about the glass bottle returns.
Yeah, returnable glass bottles. They came in.
We saw it to the end. We got the glass bottles. We returned the glass bottles.
Yep, that's right.
Just for our soda with sugar.
Yep.
And then candy.
Oh, my gosh. Who remembers penny candy? That was usually purchased at the small corner grocery store. And, you know, penny candy was easy to sneak in, especially if your parents didn't want you to have any candy, like those big candy bars. You just buy this cheap penny candy and just put it in your pocket and, you know, away you go. A few examples were the candy buttons on that strip of paper. Don, you should remember those.
Yeah, and when you took the little dots off.
You got the paper with it.
The paper with you.
That's right.
You basically had a book in your belly by the time it was all done.
Yeah, yeah. Wax lips, of course. We had some bit of honey and Tootsie Rolls. They also came in the penny size. A saltwater taffy was another one. But one of our favorites, of course, was ice cream, right, Carol?
Oh, yes, yes. Because, you know, probably when we were the youngest, ice cream was obviously a present. Chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, Neapolitan. But pretty soon the companies became very aware that we could increase... Like Baskin-Robbins. I mean, now there was a flavor, 31 flavors, one for every day of the month. So we had things like Blue Moon, Rocky Road. So our use of ice cream was increasing. Now we had a Carvel soft serve near Horlick.
Ooh, Carvel.
Yeah.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I love Carvel.
And when the Dairy Queen came into this little teeny tiny hut on State Street in my neighborhood, it could have been world-class headquarters. I mean, we...
But that was not ice cream.
That is its own soft
serve. Right, Dairy Queen will never say ice cream. Right. Yeah, it's a soft serve. It's not ice cream, yeah.
I'm glad we can make the distinction here, Don. Thank you.
Yeah, see?
we need to keep accurate.
Everybody learns something
on
your program.
All of our information.
By the way, up until yesterday... For decades, I ate Lucky Charms. Talk about sugar.
Yeah.
Lucky Charms. And I was getting headaches. So my wife said, stop. So I got Honey Nut Cheerios, which is probably just as bad. But they don't have they're not magically delicious. But I ate Lucky Charms every day. A little bit in the cup with milk. And that's what I used for dessert.
Sure.
And I got headaches. And I stopped.
Look at that.
Yesterday was my last day with Lucky Charms.
Look at that.
Boy, it's hard to
hear
that.
What a testimonial.
Yeah.
That was a testimonial we just heard. And because of ice cream, you know, we had Tompkins Velvet Freeze.
Yeah, by the Plaza.
You loved that at the Plaza.
Yep, that's right.
And Big Boy over there by the Plaza with sundaes.
Yeah.
But
the
ice cream truck, that Mr. Softy was
Mr. Softy came around the neighborhood all the time ringing his bell, you know, or playing that music that we got sick of later on, you know.
Well, how about Good Humor? He had the menu for the ice creams right in front of the exhaust pipe. So while you're reading it, you just smoke two packs of cigarettes while you're reading the menu. It was there, right in back of the, and it felt good because it was warm.
But, you know. Right.
Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier are here, and we're talking about the dangerous things we grew up with in the 50s, 60s, and beyond. We just spent about 45 minutes or 40 minutes on cigarettes and a few minutes on sugar. Are we done with sugar, or we said
more
sugar?
No,
a long way to go.
Yeah.
And by the way, the sugar-free stuff was worse than the sugar because I used to drink a lot of Diet Pepsi because I thought, well, no sugar. And my wife said, do you know what's in there? Do you know the chemicals are in there?
Yeah.
This is the stuff they make atom bombs with, and you're drinking. This is basically road salt. You're drinking it.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Of course, we also had cotton candy. We get that at maybe a circus
that
or carnivals.
Pure sugar.
Yeah, that's
exactly
all it was.
Exactly right. Yeah, 4th of July. Fourth of July, you see everybody, these vendors walking up and down the streets, you know, with the cotton candy. Cracker Jack was another favorite with everybody, with the prize inside. Back then, Hostess would make Twinkies, cupcakes, snowballs. Mm-hmm. I just bought some Twinkies the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell my wife. she's listening.
Yeah, right. Don't tell her.
Back then, it was 10 cents.
We're covering 10 cents. The entire half of the state here. Don't tell her.
Bubblegum. Remember Bazooka with the small comics inside?
Bazooka Joe.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Now, they were a big cause of cavities, of course. Mm-hmm. Remember blowing a bubble so big it would pop over your nose?
Mm-hmm. You did that, Jim, huh? So candy, yes, a pleasure to eat, but just we were unaware of how habit-forming this was and how eventually this led to overweight, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you remember,
and to the dentist.
Do you remember Lick-A-Maid?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. You just rip it open and...
It was just sugar.
Yeah.
You dump sugar
yeah.
in your mouth.
That's exactly what it was.
And by the way, what did the dentist give you when you left if you were a good kid? Gave you candy to ensure you'd be back again.
Exactly right.
Now, hey, kid, that's the stuff that got you here in the first place.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
yeah.
take it.
Come back soon.
Well, even the schools expected, and we parents, that near a school would be a candy store. So on near Lincoln School, we had Pops. Outside of the Washington Junior High, right in the back door, we had a kite and candy store. And Jim, I think now you've got a fun story you told me.
Yeah, we didn't have a store by Holy Trinity on the south side. But we did have a little mom and pop stand. So whenever we'd have recess, especially lunch hour, somebody would go over there, open up the little stand, and we'd give all our nickels and dimes, you know, to this lady buying popcorn, candy bars, and everything else. Well, one day our parish priest got wise, and he said, hey, why should the kids give all the money to this lady? Give it to us instead. So he opened up his own candy store in the basement. So all the kids were encouraged to buy candy over there. Pretty soon that other stand just didn't bother opening up anymore.
That was one enterprising priest.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, let's talk about processed foods.
Yes, I think mothers were starting to go to work, and companies were just joining scientifically in on what they could sell to us. So it was an age where convenience, processed foods with chemicals and preservatives were coming in, like cake mixes, instant puddings, canned vegetables. And I was led to thinking about TV dinners.
I was about to say the worst were TV dinners.
When
I was single for a while, my dad visited and he opened up my freezer. He says, my goodness, what's going on in this freezer? Everything is processed foods.
Yeah.
I said, well, I need something fast.
Yeah. Well, if this can be believed, it's on the internet, so it must be true. In about 1953, Swanson's ended up, don't know why, but get this now, 200 tons.
Yep, true story.
Of unused frozen turkey. And so an employee who goes down in infamy or whatever, Jerry Thomas is his name, he was credited with helping Swanson get rid of that turkey. The first turkey dinners for Swanson were made then, and they sold 10 million right in the first year.
And it was a brilliant idea.
Wasn't it?
And it's not a bad idea when you're in a hurry and you've got to do something real quick. It's not bad if you don't do it, 20 times a day.
Well, do you know what?
What?
Since I'm not the greatest cook, and if I'm alone, I eat a lot of Swanson TV dinners.
Do they even make Swanson anymore?
Well,
Banquet. I think it's called Banquet now.
Banquet is what I... Yeah. Yes, that's my brand.
Again, when I was single, that's all I had in my freezer. Yeah. Banquet dinners, White Castle burgers, all this.
Geez.
I thought it was so funny. I would say to people, well, it's Thanksgiving every day.
I just put a skull and crossbones on my freezer. Let's call it
chemicals.
What it is.
Chemicals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how about the breads,
Oh,
Jim?
Geez, the white bread especially. They were loaded with chemicals and preservatives. Some of the brand names, of course, were around here. We had some local bread manufacturers. Mrs. Carl's was one, and Butternut. Butternut was advertised, I think Mrs. Carl's too, advertised by Woody the Woodpecker.
Oh,
he would always
give
those commercials. Yeah.
Was Mrs. Carl's in a blue and white checked
wrapper? I think
wrapper?
So, yes, right, yeah. Wonder Bread.
Build strong bodies 12 ways.
Yes, it used to be 8, though, I think, at first, wasn't
it?
I think
it was 8, but they got better.
Then they found a way to...
They put more chemicals in there. That was 12 ways.
Right, yeah. And Kappas was a local bread manufacturer on 16th Street. And a story there, if you'd ever drive by there, I think it was maybe second shift or whatever, when they would bake the bread and the donuts, you could just smell that and just
really
go nuts,
terrific.
You know.
Those glazed donuts and the bread.
Oh, the glazed donuts and the bread. Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Salt was another enemy, I guess you call it. And salt was, of course, in everywhere, canned vegetables, soups especially. But we would be, buying all those snacks all the time back then, potato chips and pretzels loaded with salt. And, of course, we put salt on everything, especially popcorn. You go to the movie, theater, and you just dump all this salt on there. Corn on a cob, butter and salt.
That's
still
good.
That
yeah,
today.
That's good. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I remember cooks, and I am not one of those, but starting to realize that a lot of salt was probably not good, and it was very perplexing.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do if you don't salt it?
Yeah. Well, and I don't salt anything, but we had pizza once, this was years ago, and my friend took salt and poured it all over the pepperoni pizza.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
My arteries were clogging just watching what he was doing.
Your blood pressure. His blood pressure was rising.
I don't put salt. I don't think I put salt.
No,
I don't think we've had salt in the house.
Really?
I don't think we even
have it.
We've
gotten away from it.
Yeah.
Well, we've got just a minute left to entice us with saying we'll continue next time with the danger of our family cars.
Some more feel-good items we'll be talking about.
Because we didn't have anything like seatbelts.
I remember our neighbor, Robbie Jacobs, his mother got seatbelts put in the car. And we all went down to her house to see. They were just lap belts. They weren't like they are today.
Yeah.
And they had them put in the car. We said, wow, you're strapped in? Mm-hmm. What if you got to get out?
Yeah.
He said, just pull it and it opens up. What if you got to get out in a hurry? Yeah. I mean, we just like, I never saw a seatbelt before.
Good point. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
There were a lot of objections. Well, we'll go into this next time, but Wisconsin was the first state, 1961, to require front seatbelts in new cars.
Mm-hmm.
But it took 26 years later to say you must wear them.
Yep.
Not to mention those poor people in the back seat. They didn't have seat belts.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, we'll be talking about some of the guys did skitching back in the winter. Hitchhiking was very popular back in the 50s, which you don't really see anymore.
Dangers with cars.
Yeah.
We survived.
Yeah. Riding in the bed of a pickup truck as kids.
Yeah.
Remember that? That was...
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay. And then after that, we're going to move on to treating our skin. And everybody remembers Mercuricome, you know, when you got to cut or scrape your mother.
That red junk on
there. Yes, it stung and it smelled. And
us gals trying to get the best tan possible.
Yes, that's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely. We love those UV rays.
Right, so we have a lot to talk about next month.
I want you to listen. I'll air this. It's supposed to be aired next week, but I'll put it on right after the news. Nikki Glaser talking about spray-on tans and what it did to people. It's a comedy bit. Right after the news at 8 o'clock, I'll rush out to our cars and turn it up. I'll move that up. It was supposed to be for next week, I'll move it up.
Yeah.
I think you'll like
You're helping us. You're helping us entertain, Don.
Well, I feel so good and healthy after this talk. and I did have severe headaches in the last few weeks, but I don't know if it was some of the Lucky Charms. I don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't help, and I got rid of it. But Honey Nut Cheerios is probably just as bad.
Sure.
You know, it's not magically delicious. It doesn't have the marshmallows and all that kind of stuff. But you know what they call them? It's not marshmallows. Marbits. Because they can't call them marshmallows because they're not. They're marbits, those little things.
What are they?
What are they? I'll tell you what they are. Potassium sulfate and kind of chloride something or other.
Yeah.
I have this bottle here. I stopped drinking the carbonated beverages that were sugar-free. So my wife gave me this splash. Here's what's in it beside water. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Sodium phosphorate, magnesium sulfate, potassium sorbate, potassium benzate.
Oh, jeez.
Then there's something I can't even begin to pronounce. There's calcium disodium.
Is there anything called water in there?
Yeah, there's water in it.
Oh, okay. Yep.
If you can't pronounce it, don't ingest it. See you guys in a month, okay?
All right, Don. Thanks.
Jim and Carol.
Love being here.